If you can get your Bibles, and I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. Proverbs 26. The book of Proverbs is one of a very, very important book in the Bible. There's no doubt about it. And what we can glean from this book is very important words that can help guide our lives and even help to protect us from potential things that can go wrong, and when they do, how to watch out for them. And so Proverbs chapter 26, I want to share what the Lord placed upon my heart. It's a funny way how the Lord gives me the messages. I don't necessarily sit there praying, "Oh God, what do you want me to preach?" Although I say, "Lord, what do you want me to preach?" But I'm not striving with God, trying to bend him and try to just get that word. What he does for me, and he's done it since I used to do ministry in the nursing home, is all be going through the day and I've said the prayer and God will drop a word right into my spirit, right into my heart. And then I'll begin to rehearse it in my mind and pray, "Lord, what do you want me to say? What is the word you would have me to say?" And the Lord dropped a word into my heart this week. And I began to pray about it and say, "Lord, well, what do you want me to say?" And then I even expressed it to my wife. And then I looked to the side and we even got a newsletter from Dr. James Dobson in the mail, Family Talk. And on the cover of his mailing was the same thing that I was going to talk about. And so as I speak this word this morning, I want to just share with you that this is what the Lord placed upon my heart. And I want to just share it to the best of my ability. And hopefully it'll be a word that will help us to learn from and even to be aware of things so that we will make the right decisions and so on and so forth. But I want to speak with you this morning on beware the talebearer. Beware the talebearer. Chapter 26, beginning with verse 20 all the way to the end of the chapter, it says this: "Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds and go down into the innermost parts of the body. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross." I'm reading from the Modern English Version. "He who hates dissembles with his lips and lays up deceit within him. And when he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be shown before the whole congregation. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hates those who are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Beware the talebearer." Let's pray. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help me to share your heart with this, your people. For Lord, you want to speak to each and every one of us. It's not towards a specific person or persons, but Lord, you want to help us to know how, Lord God, to hear and how to be. And so I pray that you'd help me to express your heart. I pray that, Lord, you would anoint your word, that, Lord, it would be, Lord God, a word that pierces, but at the same time is with oil, Lord, that it can truly be received in our hearts or spirit. For, Lord, we all need to hear from you, and so we ask that you would be with us this morning, be with your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Many, many years ago, when I first began to attend church, you see, when I got saved by listening to evangelist Billy Graham on TV. I was going through a very difficult time in my life. I didn't understand the episode. I didn't understand what I was going through, but I did go through a very difficult time. And in that season, I didn't know which way to go, which way to turn, so I would try to express my feelings, my emotions to my mom, and she would try her best, but she didn't really know what to say, except for saying one time, "James, read the Bible and pray, and God will help you." God, through evangelist Billy Graham, would eventually reach my heart, and I was convinced of my need one night to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I remember getting down on my knees there in my room at the bunk bed. I slept on the lower bunk, my younger brother Eric on the top bunk, and my twin brother slept on the nice big bed. So I went down on my knees and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. And I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior by faith. He came into my life and He began to move in my life in very interesting ways, to be honest with you, because I didn't immediately start going to church. I didn't immediately start attending the Assemblies of God Church in Capulene. I was out of church, but I was walking with God. And so there were times I remember being there at the high school, long hair and all, and I'd be sitting there underneath the basketball court while people were playing during lunch. And I remember times when the Holy Spirit would come upon me and this drawing would begin to draw me towards God to read His Word and to pray. And I'm sure that you have sensed the moving of the Holy Spirit in your hearts that way. He just begins to tug on your heart. He begins to call you to Himself. And there, unbeknown to everybody else, tears would begin to well up in my eyes because I wanted God. From the average onlooker, they would have probably thought that guy is hell-bent on destroying his life. The assumption would have been, there's no way God could ever deal with someone like that. But God was dealing with me. And He did that through the whole high school years. And then one day, my first cousin said one time, hey James, you want to go to church with me? And I remember I said, yes. I said, yes, I want to go. It was right after, around the time of graduation, 1993. He was standing on this side of the hood of a car, and I was standing on the other side. And I remember he said it from the other side to me, James, you want to go to church with me on Sunday? And the church, of course, would be the Little Assembly of God Church there in Capulene. I said, yes. And to make a long story short, I eventually went to church. And I began to get involved in that church. I was very shy, very timid. I didn't say a lot, which is probably a surprise to most of you. But I didn't say a lot. I was very quiet and very shy. But I was wide open in my heart for the things of God. I wanted to do whatever God wanted me to do. I wanted to hear whatever God had to say. And I remember we began to go to the Sunday school class, and we'd go and attend the Sunday school with the young people that were there. And in the class, we had a particular teacher that was teaching the Bible, and whoa, I mean, I thought this man knew the Bible. I mean, he had his Bible all marked up. I remember he had stars on the side, underlinings, and I heard him. He would teach the Word, and I would listen, and I was just understanding the Word through some of his ministry. But then I remember as time progressed and a little bit more time spanned, not only would he be teaching Sunday school or teaching from the Bible, but little words began to creep out that were against the pastor. Little words that were confusing to me because I didn't expect it. And as a young babe in church, I didn't expect those words to do any damage. I just thought, oh, well, it must be true. You know, when you're young and your heart is wide open and you're listening to someone teaching the Bible, you just automatically assume they must be telling the truth. And so little statements came out about the pastor. And I'm not in any way saying things about me. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm just saying my story. And so I remember this young man began to start a Bible study at his house. And we would go, we would bring snacks. We would be eating chips and salsa, and, you know, we would all get together, we would get into the Bible, and we'd be studying the Bible, but then it would turn from going from the Bible into just talking about the pastor and talking about these people in the church. And unbeknown to me, I didn't realize what was going on, but I was being influenced by the words. And so before you knew it, I would begin to go to church, and there was something now marring my vision. I was now seeing the individuals and the pastor in a particular light because, well, they were saying it. It seemed to be true. It just all seemed to make sense. And so then before you knew it, I was beginning to see the pastor and everybody else that involved with that wrong. And the scripture begins to describe the reality of the talebearer. That word talebearer means this. It says it's a person who maliciously gossips or reveals secrets. That's from the Oxford Dictionary. The Merriam-Webster says it's one that spreads gossip or rumors. And I didn't realize the turmoil I was about to fall in, because I didn't realize that my heart was being influenced by the words of this young man. It was tearing me apart. I mean, the pastor is my uncle, for crying out loud. And so I had to wrestle with this, and I remember praying, God, what is this? There was something troubling me, but I didn't understand. I was a baby. I didn't know what was going on. For all I knew, it was all true. And so I began to pray, and I began to say, God, help me through this. What's going on? And I remember through prayer, I began to just pray. I was doing what I was doing, and one day I was reading the Bible. Aren't you thankful for God's Word? How many of you are thankful for the Bible? I was reading the Bible, and I was reading through the book of James. And in the book of James, it talks about the tongue and how much can be affected by words. And so I was reading that, and I remember God, by the Holy Spirit, rebuked me. And I remember He told me to stop going to those Bible studies, prayer meetings, and stop going to that house or to those houses where people are talking and slandering the pastor. And I remember God spoke to me clearly and said, don't do it anymore. And so I remember I was like, because I'm learning. You understand what I'm saying? I had made the mistake of myself joining into those conversations. I had done some of the damage. And I thought I was doing right. But I didn't realize that I had come under the influence of a talebearer. And so I remember one day I was passing by this particular house. And I was going to go visit. I was going to go there, and sometimes some of that talking would occur there. And I remember God, by the Spirit, said, don't go. And I remember I was passing by the house. Another car was there. And with that other car, as well as those that were there, I knew there was probably some talk going on. And God was saying, don't go there. Don't talk. Guard your heart. And so I remember, as I passed by, God spoke to me. I remember looking back at the house as I passed by. And I went back home, and I just began to be delivered from all of this mess that I had been involved in. I remember I eventually approached the pastor, and I said, I'm sorry that I was ever involved in this. I'm sorry I talked about you. I'm sorry I didn't know what I was doing, but forgive me for the wrong that I did. And he forgave me along with his wife. But I was a little baby, little tiny lamb, little innocent lamb. And I didn't realize I had come into the presence of this talebearer. I didn't realize how words would affect me. I didn't know none of that. Thankfully, God would deliver me from that, would send me to Bible school. But then, as growing and learning these things, I began to see how this began to work. And a talebearer is one of those that is intentionally spreading gossip. And sometimes it's half-truths, and that's why it's so hard to discern. And so when the scripture describes this talebearer, there is something that he is telling you and me as children of the living God. You see, every one of us in this room are God's children. Amen? And the words that you and I will speak are words that are very powerful. Your word as a child of the living God has more power than we even begin to realize. The same book that we are reading from says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so this message today is really for us to, Lord, help us to know how to use our words with wisdom. And help us to be careful when we are talking to our friend or our brother or our sister, to know how to speak in a way that's going to be life and not death. Because there are times that we can experience things and we don't realize that we are causing hurt, but what God wants us to do is to bring life. Amen? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now, you'll notice in verse 20, it begins to describe it as wood. And obviously now, in this season when our homes are getting cold and we have a wood stove, you need wood to keep that flame burning. Amen? When you start that fire, you get your charcoal lighter and you pour it in there and you begin to light it up. It begins to burn and it begins to heat that house, for those that have wood stoves, of course. But it says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. But it says, so, where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. And in essence, what Solomon is giving to us is a warning of how that strife can begin in our homes or lives as the result of being a talebearer. It says, where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Verse 21 says, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You see, sometimes there is contention in the heart, and as a result, there is the need to want to hurt. And so the talebearer is the one that is spreading gossip, and it's sometimes words that can be very destructive, and sometimes it's all being birthed out of pain. But the warning to you and me is that we must, like they've always said, whenever you get angry, have you ever heard, if you get mad, count to 10. If you get real mad, count to 1,000. Anybody heard that before? Why is that statement made? Why do the psychologists tell us that? Because usually when we're angry, we are tempted to want to lash out. Isn't that right? So before we make the mistake of doing it, count to 10. That means if you're kind of mad. But if you're really mad, then give some time before reacting, because we can get ourselves into trouble. And so the Lord dropped this into my heart. So I said, Lord, really? You know, okay, Lord. And so the Lord confirmed it, like I said, with that message from Dr. James Dobson. So I want to read some of it for you, if you don't mind, okay? Like I said, it came in the mail, and I'm like, wow, Lord, okay. So if you're saying it, I got to be obedient to you. But I want to read to you some of what he said here. It says this. This is Dr. James Dobson. Of course, all credit goes to him. He says, may I make a suggestion to everyone reading along with me today? It's the beginning. It says, dear Mr. Archuleta, may I make a suggestion to everyone reading along with me today? We all know that America has been through an extremely stressful and contentious political year. 2016 put the entire nation on the edge and divided us down the middle. But now the presidential election is over, a new Congress is in place, and President Donald J. Trump has been inaugurated. Maybe it's time to put hard scrabble politics behind us for a while and think about something more uplifting. Let's all take a deep breath of fresh air and let the scriptures talk to us. I'd like to focus on a passage found within my book, Bringing Up Boys. As a writer, speaker, and broadcaster, the content I'm about to share is very near and dear to my heart. It involves the words we use or abuse as we communicate with those around us. It has been suggested that the most powerful weapon in the world is not a gun or even a nuclear bomb, but rather it is the tongue. That is what the book of James tells us. With the careless use of our words, we can encourage or discourage, forgive or condemn, lift up or tear down. Words are so easy to utter, often tumbling out without much reason or forethought. Those who hurl criticism or hostility at others may not even mean or believe what they have said. Their comments may reflect momentary jealousy, resentment, depression, fatigue, or revenge. Regardless of the intent, harsh words sting like killer bees. Almost all of us, including you and me, have lived through moments when a parent, a teacher, a friend, a colleague, a husband, a wife has said something that cut to the quick. The pains of those harsh comments are now sealed forever in the memory bank. That's an amazing property of the spoken word. Even though a person forgets most of his or her day-to-day experiences, a particularly painful remark may be remembered for decades. By contrast, the individual who did the damage may have no memory of the encounter a few days later. Former Senator and President candidate Hillary Rodham Clinton wrote about her father, who never affirmed her as a child. That means encouraged her, gave time to say good words to her. When she was in high school, she brought home a straight A report card. She showed it to her dad, hoping for a word of commendation. Instead, he said, "Well, you must be attending an easy school." Decades later, the remark still burns in Mrs. Clinton's mind. Her father's thoughtless response may have represented nothing more than a casual quip, but it created a point of pain that is endured to this day. If you doubt the power of words, remember what John the disciple wrote under divine inspiration. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John was describing Jesus, the Son of God, who was identified personally with words. That makes the case about as well as it will ever be demonstrated. Matthew, Mark, and Luke each record a related prophetic statement made by Jesus that confirms the eternal nature of his teachings. He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." We remember that he said to this hour, more than 2,000 years later, clearly words matter. So on and so forth. Have sparks ever sprayed from your tongue? More important, have you ever set a child's spirit on fire with anger? All of us have made that costly mistake. We know we had blundered the moment the comment flew out of our mouths, but it was too late. If we tried for 100 years, we couldn't take back a single remark. The first year Shirley and I were married, she became very angry with me about something that neither of us can recall. In the frustration of the moment, she said, "If this is marriage, I don't want any part of it." She didn't mean it and regretted her words almost immediately. An hour later, we had reconciled and forgiven each other, but Shirley's statement could not be taken back. We laughed about it through the years, and the issue is inconsequential today. Still, there is nothing either of us can do to erase the utterance of that moment. All in all, to say how powerful words are. And the Lord wants to challenge us. I include myself here. In how we use our words. We must ever be careful that we aren't like wood to a flame or part of strife because of words. For the reality is that strife, striving, discontentment, disunity can have at its heart sometimes a talebearer. And so we must be careful with the words. It says here in verse 22, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds and go down into the innermost parts of the body." I know there's been times when I've made statements or I've said things and I've regretted them. And it's like Dr. James Dobson has said here, it's impossible to remove them. But we must ever be careful with how we use our words. It should be our prayer, "God, help my words to be a blessing, to be encouraging, to edify and build up, and not to destroy." For it says in verse 23, "Burning lips and a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross." What does that mean? Burning lips and a wicked heart. That means real beautiful lips that look like if they're innocent, that they're not doing any wrong. But a wicked heart deceives, because there seems to be no intention with the words. But it says, "Burning lips and a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. He who hates dissembles with his lips and lays up deceit within him. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are 7 abominations in the heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be shown before the whole congregation." What that is saying is this, is that we must pray, "Oh God, deal with my heart." For God sees the heart. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. And we must pray, "God, give me a heart that is not filled with deceit or strife or with the intention to hurt anyone." Because ultimately, that person will dig themselves their own pit to fall in. Did you hear that? Truth will always prevail. And so it continues here in verse 27, "Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. And he who rolls a stone, it will return upon him." And what it's saying here is even what happened with Esther and Haman. How many remember the story of Esther? Haman wanted to destroy Esther and all of the Jews because of Mordecai. Mordecai didn't go and bow down to him. As far as Mordecai was concerned, Haman was no god to him. So he wasn't going to go bow down and worship him. So Haman got upset about it, and through that he wanted to destroy Mordecai and all of his race. And unbeknown to him, Esther, Queen Esther, was a little Jewish, was a Jewess girl. Of course, his intention was to destroy not only Mordecai, but the whole of the Jews. And so he began to scheme, he began to connive, and he began to do all he could to try to destroy the Jews. He would eventually build what are called a gallows. It was like a big wooden thing where they would put across beams, and on that they would hang individuals, of course, on the throat to kill them and hang them on the gallows. His intention was not only to have Mordecai hanging there, but all of the Jews. But his intention to destroy the Jews became his own downfall. It's like the scripture said there, whoever digs a pit will fall into it. And it's describing the hunter who digs a hole to try to catch some live kill, some live animal, but in digging it forgets about it and slips into the same hole he created. It's like the individual who was rolling a stone uphill, and if that person isn't careful, that thing is going to gain momentum and eventually turn around and fall on them. And so that's what the scripture is saying. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone, it will return upon him. And it says, a lying tongue hates those who are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. And so all in all, the message today is really something that we must guard all of our hearts against. Not to allow ourselves, first of all, to be one that spreads gossip, but also not to be one that gives ear to gossip either. Amen? You and I, as God's children, must speak words that are going to be a blessing, words that are going to bring life, and not destructive words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. We must encourage one another, pray for one another, pray for our enemies, love them, do good to those that have hurt you, and I should do good to those that have hurt me. That's what God has called us to. And so these, where it says, beware the talebearer, we must be careful with the words that we're around and what we allow to entertain us. Amen? Like I said, when I was that young Christian, I didn't know that those words that this young man was saying were going to affect me the way that they were. But they, if I had allowed it to continue, it would have eventually destroyed me. Do you all hear that? I wouldn't be here pastoring a church had I allowed that venom to continue. You see, it's like poison. It's like something that begins to taint our mind, our hearts. And this word serves to be something that we must be careful about. This is God's word. Amen? And we must give ear to what the Lord has to say. Don't take it just because Pastor James is saying it. No. We must take it because it's God's word. Amen? And because we are children of the living God, we must be careful. The same writer, Solomon, would say earlier in the book of Proverbs, guard your heart with all diligence. And we must be careful how we hear. Amen? Amen. Let's stand today.